want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for tuning into the Refresh Radio program right here. It's a Monday morning. It's a beautiful day. I do have bad news for you, and that is I heard that they had moved up the unofficial start of hurricane season to the middle of the month, and so I think it's on Saturday that they declare that to be the unofficial beginning of hurricane season, which does provide a little bit of relief for my wife and I, considering they've declared the official opening of hurricane season to be our anniversary. And so that's something you always like to celebrate. There's other worse designations that are celebrations that take place on our anniversary too, but we won't discuss that on here today. But we want to say thank you today to the folks at Secure Safe and Lock, 321-453-5397, 321-453-5397. I was talking to a guy, and he grew up in a similar part of the country to what I did, and he's a little bit older than I am, but he was talking about his dad and how much they paid for their first house. And he said that it wasn't until the 1960s that they even had locks on their doors. And he said out where they lived, people just trusted one another. He said it wasn't until the 60s that they actually put a set of door hardware on that would actually lock the door. Now, those days are gone. There's reasons why you have locks on your doors. I've lived in communities where if you walked outside to go to the mailbox, you locked your door behind you. If your door never left your sight, you made sure that you locked your door behind you. There were people who did not feel safe in that short a period of time. If you were going outside for a minute, you locked your door behind you. And so I don't know where you are, but I'm thankful for locks. A lot of cars automatically lock behind you now. I don't know if you've ever had your car keys locked in there. That's always an exciting time. I don't know if you've ever locked your keys in your house. Whatever your situation, if you've ever had a locking problem, you can call the folks at Secure Safe and Lock, 321-453-5397. Andrew and his team there, they've been friends of mine and taking care of our security issues as far as locking mechanisms for a long, long period of time. And I know that they would do a great job for you as well. 321-453-5397. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program. So last week was a week of celebration. This is a week of celebration. Later this week, I will be celebrating my birthday, and that's always fun, except for now there's way too many candles on that cake, and you got to make sure that whenever you have a cake that it is not anywhere close to a smoke detector, because that could create all sorts of noise that nobody really wants to hear. So not really all that bad, but we do have a few birthdays behind us and a few in front of us, and so I will do my best to get out and celebrate later this week, and hopefully the weather will permit and I will get to go play golf, because that's what I like to do. So let's go back to Isaiah, the 45th chapter today. We're going to conclude there. It's not going to be the only passage that we are in today, But let me just begin reading where we picked or where we left off yesterday. We left off in verse number 19. I'm going to pick up on verse number 20 and read all the way down to 25. This is in Isaiah 45, verse number 20. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, you who have escaped the nations. They have no knowledge, who carry the wood of their carved image and pray to a God that cannot save. Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior. There's none besides me. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath. He shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. To him men shall come, and all shall be ashamed who are incensed against him. In the Lord all the descendants of Israel shall be justified and shall glory. So a lot of times when I talk about idols, I recount a missionary telling us that he was in a country and idolatry was huge in that country, and they went to this idol temple. And he said, I was curious, and so I walked around to the side, and I looked, and sure enough, no ears. And we begin to look at some of the functional deficiencies that idols have. They cannot see. They cannot hear. They cannot speak. They cannot taste. And they cannot touch. All of those things are described as things that God is able to do, does do, and is willing to do. But beyond those inabilities, there is one more glaring incapacity, and that is this: those idols cannot save. And so when you are in need of salvation, you need a God who can save, and all need salvation. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You need to be forgiven. You need salvation. There was only one person who is willing to pay the price for that, and his name is Jesus. So, what are you going to do when you need salvation? I tell people, you know, because in 1 Corinthians it describes the most excellent gift. As far as the spiritual giftings go, so if you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, 14, you can read it in there. The greatest gift is the one that is needed at that exact moment. That's my definition of the greatest gift or the most excellent gift. Love is described as the most excellent gift. So if you need a word of knowledge and God gives you a word of knowledge, praise God. That was the gift that you needed right at that point in time. So today I want to focus on salvation, because idolatry is not going to be a sufficient savior. Wealth is not a sufficient savior. There's nothing, your pedigree, your background, none of that is going to be able to save you. In fact, you can look to the heavens and that's not going to be able to save you. You can look to the hills. That's not going to be able to save you. Only Jesus can save you. He says, and this is one of those verses that we've talked about that was repeated frequently, is, and there is no other God besides me. And look in verse number 22, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. So the first thing that I'd like to say there is this invitation to salvation is not just for the Jewish people. this is an invitation to all the ends of the earth. The reason that God had a covenant people, a chosen people, was so that he could demonstrate the difference in how he treated his covenant people and the way that the world treated the people who were following after that philosophy or lifestyle or persuasion, who were being led by the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. There's a remarkable distinction there. But the purpose has always been that God wants to be the savior of the world. He's just looking for some people to work in and through to demonstrate his greatness. So verse number 23 says, again, this is Isaiah 45, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness. What God is saying here is, I did not misspeak when I said this. I'm not taking it back. The word's gone out. It went out correctly. I meant what I said. This word is in perfect alignment with my will. So what did God say? That to me, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall take an oath. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall take an oath. I remember seeing a statement that someone posted in a business years and years and years ago. And it's not the sign isn't there anymore. I don't know who put up the sign. And it was kind of one of those statements that made it think like that it didn't really matter who you worshiped. In fact, the people that we worship probably like one another, get along with one another, and it compared to diametrically opposed lifestyles. And said that they probably would have liked one another if only they had met. And I was sitting there, and I said to myself, they did. They did meet. And the one bowed their knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and confessed that Jesus was Lord. You see, as long as you are dealing in the theoretical, anything is possible. But whenever you get down to reality, and I define reality by the word of God, I do not define the word of God by the things that I see. I define the word of God as the authority, and everything else has got to come into alignment with the word of God. And so when it says, every knee is going to bow to God. Every tongue is going to take an oath. Well, that probably sounds familiar. If you're familiar with the New Testament, if you go to Romans chapter 14, Romans chapter 14, you are going to find the New Testament equivalent. It's actually a quotation of that particular passage. And so let's begin reading in Romans chapter 14. And let's begin at verse number 8. For if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Okay? As I live, says the Lord. So we're talking about spiritual truth. The spiritual truth is one day you and I are going to bow our knee to his greatness. And with our mouth, we will confess that he is God, that he is Lord. So the question is, are we going to do that voluntarily, or are we going to do that under compulsion? And I want to do that voluntarily, because there's two distinct outcomes. If we do that because we recognize his greatness and we recognize his lordship, that indicates that we have asked him to forgive us of our sins and be the Lord of our life. If we wait until we get to heaven, when the opportunity for repentance has passed, there isn't a get out of jail after a few hundred years card. I know that there's a term called purgatory that some people believe in, but that doesn't line up with the Word of God. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. So you have this window of time. I heard recently about a person, and finally, after decades and decades and decades, finally, they decided that they would give their heart to the Lord. And praise God for that. I just, like I've said before, lots of missed opportunities there. You want to say yes to Jesus' lordship as early as possible, not as late as possible. So let's take a look at one more manifestation of that, or occurrence of that passage, reference to that passage in the New Testament. It is in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Listen to this, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Having a Christian, or being a Christian, causes us to have a different mindset. Our minds are renewed. They are recalibrated, if you will, back to the way that we were supposed to think. We are no longer thinking the way of the world. We are no longer thinking just about temporal things. We are thinking about eternal things. We are thinking about why we do things. You know, there's the old story of the lady who was cooking a pot roast. And she said, "Well, Mom, you're cooking that pot roast. Why are you cutting, the an inch off of each end of the pot roast?" And she said, "Well, that's the way my mother did it." And so they went to the grandmother and they said, "Grandma, why did you cut the inch off of the pot roast?" And said, "Well, that's the way that my mother did it." And the great grandmother was still alive. And so they went and asked her, and they said, "Why did you cut an inch off each end of the pot roast?" And she said, "Well, I had to do that in order to get it to fit into the pan. I only had a pan that was so big." We think that the things that we have, everybody always did have, and things that were done out of necessity, if you're not careful, they lose the reasoning for why you did that, and you just continue to do that out of tradition. So, by the way, I don't want you to think that if you've had a knee replacement that you can't fulfill this passage of Scripture. What we're talking about here is not a physiological bowing of the knee, although that's the word picture there. If you cannot get down on your knees, you can still humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. It is more than just an activity of calisthenics. It's more than just saying the word. It is all about to the glory of God. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth. So this is not just going to be humanity. This is going to be principalities and powers. This is going to be angels. These are going to be people who are alive, people who have passed away from the scenes. There is going to be a confession with the mouth to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's because of that that we do that, that we have looked to him and said, there is salvation in the name of Jesus. There's no other way, no other path to be saved. So back in Isaiah chapter 45, verse number 24, we're going to look at our third truly statement, or surely statement, our third spiritual truth that we're focused on here in this chapter. Verse number 24 says this: He shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. To him, capital H, men shall come, and all shall be ashamed, who are incensed against, capital H, him. In the Lord, all the descendants of Israel shall be justified and shall glory. So right standing is very important. My wife and I, we were having a discussion about, you know, upbringings and things like that, and how dysfunctional some people's homes, and I believe this, I truly do, that there is, for the most part, there's some level of dysfunctionality in just about every household. So I don't like the premise of says, well, the way that I am is because I grew up in a dysfunctional household, and therefore I'm sentenced to be like this forever. I want you to know that flies in the face of the redemptive power and the transformative power of God. Let God change you so that the end of the story ends up looking much different than what it could have been had Jesus not come and changed your life. So right standing is very important. The conversation we were having was that some people grow up in environments where they don't recognize normal. What I mean by that is, I remember hearing about people in multiple countries who the kids are just as happy as they can be. They're living in the city dump. They've never lived outside of the dump. They don't know that there's anybody who lives outside of the dump. I heard of one country that revival came and a church actually built a church inside the boundaries of the dump, and people were getting saved there. They were encountering Jesus there. Okay? I just don't want us to get complacent and comfortable where we say, I don't really care about the right standing. What happened was, there are some people, unless they're fighting all the time, they don't know what normal is. They've never understood the peace that God provides, because they've never known the God of peace. And so for them, you know, where I cannot stand strife and discord and fighting and argument and all that. I can't stand it. It's not what I want to be my normal. I don't even like visiting that sort of stuff. So let's allow God to say, surely in God I have righteousness, I'm going to have peace. And one more thing it says here, I'm going to have strength. I know for a lot of people, Mondays are a difficult day. I don't schedule a heavy calendar on Mondays because of all of the expense of energy that has gone out on Sundays. But I can tell you this, I don't have to rely on my strength. You don't have to rely on your strength. We can rely on the strength of Almighty God. This prophecy about Cyrus in Isaiah 45 concludes with this. 10 men shall come. That was capital H. That means to God. And all shall be insane and ashamed who are incensed against him. You can rise up in opposition. The Bible talks repeatedly about humanity rising up and going to battle against God. And it doesn't matter how unified they are. The result is always the same. God is always going to be the winner. Isaiah 45:25 says this, "In the Lord, all the descendants of Israel shall be justified and shall glory." So what is your day going to look like today? I don't believe that bowing our knee and confessing the Lordship of Jesus Christ is supposed to be a one-and-done relationship. I think that's supposed to be something that that takes place through our actions day in and day out. I think that every day we need to remind ourselves that because we have been forgiven and Jesus is on the Lord, we have right standing with God, and because of his omnipotence, we have strength to face the day. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And because of our relationship with God, we do not have to be ashamed of our behavior the same way that people who are going around with unrepentant sin in their life are ashamed and disgraced and things like that. But instead, we can go out and we can say, I have been justified, and I am going to glory. I am going to boast in the Lord. I'm not here to boast about me. I'm here to boast about my God, my Savior. He is a good, good God. He is a good, good Father. And today, we want to bring him glory, honor, and praise. So, what's your Monday look like? You're not too deep into it right now. If you got started off on the wrong foot, say, you know what? We're going to change that. And we're going to ask God to help us to get back in step with what he has for us today, and he will respond to that. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio
Thank you
program.
For tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."